Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by your faithful prayers and contributions. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And we begin our worship service promptly at 10 a.m. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Well, it was the first Sunday in May, and every year we welcome back to our pulpit national evangelist Reverend Manuel Scott Jr. And the message that he shared with us is titled, When Shaking is Necessary.
For understand clearly today, brothers and sisters, that our God is not only in the blessing business, but our God is in the shaking business. For God will shake us up, and God will shake us down, and God will shake us clean, and God will shake us clear. Sometimes, church, God has to shake us.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them together to the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 25 down through 31. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and let's join morning worship already in progress.
I said, we thank God today for the fact that through it all and in spite of it all, He has been our rock. I heard one preacher say that He's the rock that will not roll. My brothers and sisters, I've been sharing with congregations around the nation that individuals who are terribly ill in the hospital many times are said to be living on life support. Tubes and machines and various mechanisms are keeping them alive. But those of us who are conscientious Christians, we realize that we've been living on grace support. I said we realize we've been living on grace support. It's been the sheer grace and mercy of God that have been keeping us alive. I stand to encourage someone here today by saying that regardless of whatever you may be going through, our God is still in the blessing business. I said, my brother, my sister, regardless of whatever you may be going through, our great God is still in the blessing business. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Shall we pray? God is our refuge and our strength, very present help in trouble. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. It is again our Father and our God that we, your children of the dust and the clay, come before your divine presence, throne, and altar in the most wondrous, amazing, and awesome name we know, and that is in the name of Jesus. We come in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, a name that is above every name, name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We come in His name saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us such a beautiful day today. Thank you for last night's lying down. Thank you for allowing us to rise early this morning. Thank you for the fact that in a world that has gone absolutely insane, you were kind enough to clothe us in our right minds. Oh God, we said thank you today. Thank you for this great church, St. Paul Baptist Church, and for each and every member that makes up this beautiful congregation. And then, Lord God, for the angel of this house, for the Reverend Dr. Ephraim Williams, God, we say thank you. Thank you for his almost 50 years of glorious service that he has rendered unto this your people. And oh God, we continue to lift up Pastor Williams. We ask, Lord God, that you would bless him in a special way. Strengthen his mind, body, soul, and spirit. Continue to encourage his heart. For all of our preachers of the gospel who are here, we said thank you. For every officer who's here, we said thank you. For our musicians, our choirs, our ushers, our parents, our grandparents, our young people, our visitors, God, we say thank you. Now God, today we need to hear a word from you. There's trouble in the land, there's confusion everywhere. We need to hear a strong word from you. Open up our minds, prepare our spirits, convince us even now that something good is about to happen. We'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We say thank you, Lord. 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 We're mindful of those who are less fortunate than ourselves. And we ask even now that you forgive us for all of our sins. And then, Heavenly Father, it's your servants, my son, his request, is that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. How many of you here today know that in spite of it all, God has smiled on you? I need to see some hands. I need to see some hands. Come on, let's lift up our voices and let's sing together. God has smiled on me. Let's sing together, everyone. Oh, God has smiled me. He set me free. Oh, God, well, smile. Oh, He's been good to me. Let's wave our hands to the Lord and sing. Oh, God. Come on. Smiled on me. He has set me free. Praise him. Well, God. Oh, oh, he's been good to me. Turn around and shake the hands of three people. Sing to them, God. Let's give God a great big round of applause. Give the Lord a hand if you know he smiled on you. Oh, come on, we can give him a bigger hand than that. Come on, let's give God a hand. Let's give God a hand of praise. Come on, you know God has smiled on you. You know how far God has brought you from. Give God a hand of praise. If you thank him today, give him a great big round of applause. Hallelujah. 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 How we bless, praise, honor, and magnify the name of God today, and how we truly thank him for his goodness, his grace, his mercy, and his favor. How we indeed thank him for the fact that he loved us so much until he was willing to give unto us the very best that he had in his only begotten Son, Jesus our Christ. In that very same spirit, we pay all respect, love, and appreciation to this your most able, anointed, outstanding, dedicated, educated, consecrated, Holy Ghost-filled, multi-talented, multi-dimensional man of God, one of the finest and most outstanding pastors in all of the solar system today. Amen. The one and only Reverend Dr. Ephraim Williams. Amen. To all of my distinguished brethren of the clergy who are with us today, particularly those who grace the rostrum area with us, certainly to the wonderful officers of this great church and all of my deaconesses and our mothers, certainly to this fabulous cadre of musicians, and to one of the greatest choirs in all of the world. Amen. 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 To our ushers, to our parents, to our grandparents, especially to all of our young people, our millennials, visiting friends, and to you, my father's children, saints of God, soldiers of the cross, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if I covered everybody, shout amen. Amen. Now, if you don't mind, somebody help me to say amen. Turn to your neighbor now and shake your neighbor's hand real tight. Everybody shake somebody's hand real tight. Look them right in the eye and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, on this first Sunday, I want you to know that in the name of Jesus, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Give God a hand of praise if you love him. Come on, come on, come on. Amen, amen. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He was simply saying that if you're breathing, then you ought to praise him. Well, let me check the house. Anybody breathing in here today? Anybody glad that you're breathing in here? Why don't you just give him a hand of praise? Come on, come on. Give him a hand, give him a hand. St. Paul, it is always a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be with you. And of course, I've been preaching at this great church for well over 30 years now. Say amen, somebody. Amen. In fact, when I started coming, all of you were much younger. Say amen. 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 God be praised. Amen. Amen. And my hair was black. Say amen. Time will bring about a change. Amen. God be praised. So it's always a joy to be here. We've just come in yesterday from Woodland, right down the road. And before that, we were in San Francisco. And before that, we were in San Diego. And before that, we were in Harlem, New York City. And before that, we were in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And before that, we were in Brooklyn, New York. And on and on and on. But we're here at St. Paul today. Say amen. And I'm so happy to be here. Amen. This is my church. Say amen. Amen. Pastor Williams is my pastor. Amen. God be praised for him. Amen. Every time I come here, I'm always reminded of what my late great friend, the Reverend Dr. Edgar Williams of Washington, D.C., used to say. He used to say that even when a man has only two teeth in his mouth, they look much better together. Say amen. And it occurred to me that if teeth can look good coming together, then most certainly, Sylvester, the people of God look mighty good coming together. Amen. But St. Paul, always happy to see each and every one of you, and we bless God, and I thank God for Pastor Williams. Say amen. 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 One of our great pastors of our time. Let me say this right here. I have certainly appreciated, Sister Larry, amen, the choir today. Amen. I always do, but you were in rare form today. Come on, church, let's give the choir another great big hand. Rare form, rare form, rare form. God be praised. In fact, while you were singing, I felt like saying what the cat said after he had eaten the canary. The cat said after he'd eaten the canary, I can't sing, but it sure is in me. Amen. Some of y'all will get that Tuesday. Say amen. But God bless you. Amen. Again, I say thank you to Dr. Williams. Amen. He's such a great soul and such a great colleague. God be praised. Pastor, please stand. I have a little gift for you, sir. Pastor, we appreciate you so much. And to show that appreciation, I want to give you this gift as an expression of my love, admiration, and affection. Please accept it in the spirit in which it is given. Amen. God be praised for you. Amen. Amen. God be praised. Amen. Now, how many of us are ready to hear a word from the Lord?
Amen.
And today, for just a few moments, I would that you would prayerfully come with me as we focus our minds upon the theme, upon the subject, when shaking becomes necessary. When shaking becomes necessary. And for our scriptural text, I would that you would turn your Bibles to that 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. And we shall begin reading at verse 25, reading down to verse 31. Amen. Amen. Mother Kennedy, we appreciated you today. God be praised for you. Amen. Amen. I just talked with Brian 2 days ago. Amen. God be praised. If you have your Bibles or facsimile thereof, please stand with me now. All of us should have our Bibles. God bless you today. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 25, reading down to verse 31. Acts 16, chapter 16. Beginning at verse 25, reading down to verse 31. There we find these great words in this powerful, classic, and also relevant story recorded. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all of the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." When shaking becomes necessary. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Please, if you would, repeat that after me. When shaking becomes necessary. Let's say it again. When shaking becomes necessary. Everybody shake your neighbor's hand and look them in the eye. Shake your neighbor's hand and say,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor, whatever you do, don't go to sleep on this one. Amen. 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 My brothers and my sisters, Dr. Williams, pastors and preachers, officers, all who had gathered here, it's quite important for us to clearly realize and recognize that God's modus operandi, that is to say, God's ways and means of doing things, while redemptive, is most mystifying and mysterious. I said God's modus operandi, his ways and means of doing things, while redemptive, is most mystifying and mysterious. For the Lord God himself declares in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I'm trying to get you to see, St. Paul, that God's modus operandi, his ways and means of dealing with us, while indeed redemptive, is most mystifying and mysterious. For you see, brothers and sisters, sometimes God has to wake us. Yes, sometimes God has to wake us. Amen. But you see, oftentimes we are like existential zombies. For you see, although we have movement of our legs and our limbs, we're still guilty of spiritual sleepwalking. Therefore, God has to wake us out of our unredemptive slumber. But then, church, sometimes God has to break us. Yes, sometimes God has to break us. I can remember some time ago, I was doing revival on the East Coast, and I was there in my hotel room getting ready to go to the service, and I was washing my face there in the restroom, praise be to God, and I accidentally knocked over a bottle of cologne. And Poku, when that bottle of cologne hit the floor, it broke, releasing the beautiful fragrance of that particular cologne. And church, do you not know, Pastor, it occurred to me that sometimes God has to break us in order to release the best fragrance out of our lives. Yes. But then, saints, it occurred to me that sometimes God has to shake us. Yes, not only does he have to wake us, and not only does he have to break us, but sometimes, Dawson, God has to shake us. For you see, church, God will shake you, and God will shake me, and God will shake her, and God will shake them. Sometimes God has to shake us. For understand clearly today, brothers and sisters, that our God is not only in the blessing business, but our God is in the shaking business. Oh, yes, he is. For God will shake us up, and God will shake us down, and God will shake us clean, and God will shake us clear. Sometimes, church, God has to shake us. Those of you who grew up in the South, in such places as Texas or Louisiana or Arkansas or Mississippi or Oklahoma, you recall and can remember, praise be to God, that in order to get you to act right, many times your parents will grab you and shake you real good. Anybody here know what I'm talking about at all? Yes, many times your parents, in order to get you to act right, they would grab you and shake you real good. Well, brothers and sisters, I've stopped by to tell you that sometimes God, our heavenly parent, sometimes God, our heavenly father, in order to get us to act right, will grab us and shake us real good. For you see, my friend, sometimes God shakes us because he wants us to stop our laziness. Sometimes God shakes us because he wants us to stop our lying. Sometimes God shakes us because he wants us to stop our procrastination. Sometimes God shakes us because he wants us to stop our jealousy and our envy. Sometimes God shakes us because he wants us to stop our arrogance, our narcissism, our egocentrism that finds us being snotty and snooty and stuck up with our noses turned up in the air, that finds us thinking that we are God Junior. My God, that finds us thinking that we are the best thing since sliced bread, red Kool-Aid, and black pepper. My God, sometimes God shakes us because he wants us to stop running down to the casino, amen, to playing the lottery, to dealing with the gambling boat, to stop dealing with the Ouija board, or tarot cards, or the spiritualist, amen, or the psychic, or the palm reader, or Madam Suey Fruitcake. My God. Sometimes God shakes us because he wants us to stop getting sloppy drunk off of Chevy's Regal or Cisco, Wild Turkey, or Grey Goose, or Merlot, or Jim Beam, or Jack Daniels, amen, or Cutty Sark, amen, or Johnny Walker Red, or Johnny Walker Black, or Smirnoff, or Seagram's, Bacardi, or Hennessy, tequila with or without the worm. Sometimes God has to shake us. Somebody help me say, shake us. I need everybody to do your hands like I'm doing mine and say, shake us. Come on, brothers, come on. I said, move your body, come on. I need everybody, come on. Some of y'all let me exercise all day, come on. Shake. Lord have mercy. Praise be to God. Well, at this juncture, Pastor, I can hear some well-thinking person asking me, Brother Preacher, I hear what you're trying to say, and I don't mean any disrespect, but can you tell me, why does God find it so necessary to shake us? Yeah, I hear what you're trying to say, Brother Preacher, but why does God find it so necessary to shake us? But doesn't God know that shaking hurts? Doesn't God know that shaking is painful? Doesn't God know that shaking is frightening? Doesn't God know that shaking is destabilizing and discombobulating? Brother preacher, why does God find it so necessary to shake us? Well, brothers and sisters, the answer to this very question is located in our beautiful text for today. Well, here we go. First of all, the text is suggesting that God shakes us because he wants to get our attention. Secondly, the text is suggesting that God shakes us because he wants us to confess. And then finally, the text is suggesting, preachers, that God shakes us because he wants to set us free. Yes, the text is suggesting, brothers and sisters, get this today, that God shakes us because he wants to get our attention, because he wants us to confess, and then because he wants to set us free. Now, certainly, you ought to remember the circumstances of our text. For Paul and Silas, praise be to God, the disciples of the Lord, while they were doing the work of the Lord, they angered many people. And as a consequence, they were thrown in jail in a city called Philippi. And the record says that at midnight, midnight, while Paul and Silas, watch this, were praying and singing praises unto God, God sent a great earthquake that shook the very foundations. Now, saints, you need to know, Sister Ella Williams, what's going on here. Paul and Silas are in jail. They are in prison. They are facing imminent execution. Nevertheless, they were praying and singing. Somebody help me say singing. And singing praises unto God. They were not going crazy. They were not losing their minds. They were not screaming for mercy. They were not hysterical with fear. But rather they were praying and singing praises unto God. And you know, church, it occurred to me in my spiritual imagination, what were perhaps some of the songs that Paul and Silas were singing right there in jail? Yes, perhaps what were some of the songs that Paul and Silas were singing right there in prison? Well, it occurred to me that perhaps they were singing, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whether shall I go? Perhaps they were singing, time is filled with swift transition, not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal, hold to God's unchanging hand. Perhaps they were singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege is to carry everything to God in prayer. Perhaps they were singing some of those songs. Well, let's move on to the insights of our text. First of all, the text is suggesting that God shakes us because he wants to get our attention. Brothers and sisters, those of us who live in California, and particularly those of us who live, as I do, in Southern California, we can tell most of the whole world that whatever else an earthquake will do, it will surely get your... Can I get an amen right there? I said, whatever else an earthquake will do, it will surely get your attention. But you see, when God sent that great earthquake that shook the very foundations of the prison, it got Paul and Silas's attention. It got the other prisoners' attention. And most certainly, it got the jailer's attention. My brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. Sometimes, young people, God shakes you and shakes us because he wants to get our attention. I said he wants to get our attention. And brothers and sisters, and you young folk and young adults, praise be to God, teenagers and millennials, hear me real carefully here. Make no mistake about it, friends. God knows how to get your attention. Do I have a witness from anybody in here? I said, make no mistake about it. God knows how to get your attention. For God can use your unemployment to get your attention. God can use the death of a precious loved one to get your attention. God can use, your divorce to get your attention. God can use a financial disaster to get your attention. God can use a physical illness to get your attention. God can use, the betrayal of a best friend or relative or colleague or coworker or even a fellow church member to get your attention. God knows how to get your attention. Yes, and brothers and sisters, I'm going a little bit deeper right here. Watch me now. If you do not pay attention, if you do not pay attention, God, if he doesn't get you with his holy earthquakes, he'll get your attention with life's aftershocks. Oh, my God. I said, if you don't pay attention, God, Sylvester, if he doesn't get your attention with his holy earthquakes, saints, he'll get your attention with life's aftershocks. You wonder why some people, some friends, some relatives, some children, some grandchildren are always stumbling around here, always in bad shape, having problem after problem, trouble after trouble, going through trial after trial, mess after mess. It's because they're dealing with God's, with life's aftershocks. My God. Sometimes God shakes us because he wants to get our attention. But then secondly, the text is also suggesting that sometimes God shakes us because he wants us to confess. Yes. Sometimes God has to shake us. Because he wants us to confess. Now, saints, many of you know, many of the preachers know that the Greek word for the word confess is homologio. Somebody help me say homologio. And homologio literally means to say the same thing about your sin that God says about your sin. However, saints, St. Paul, hear me out now. For our purposes today, to confess means to truthfully acknowledge that you have misread the situation. Yes, to confess for our purposes today means to truthfully acknowledge that you have misread the situation. For we're told in verse 30 of our text that when God sent that great earthquake that shook the very foundations of the prison, the jailer came running into Paul and Silas's jail cell, fell at their feet and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You need to know, brothers and sisters, that the jailer was actually confessing that he had misread the situation. For he had misread the mission of Paul and Silas. He had misread the ministry of Paul and Silas. He had misread the message of Paul and Silas. He had certainly misread the master of Paul and Silas. And so he had to confess that he had misread the situation. He said, "Sir, what must I do now to be saved?" And brothers and sisters, how often do we sin, and how cruel we can be by misreading other people? Do I have a witness from anybody truthful here? How often do we sin, and how cruel we can be, Pastor, by misreading other people? Well, let me see who's going to be really truthful with the preacher today. Is there anyone here today other than this evangelist who has ever misread another person? Come on, let me see some hands from honor. Amen. You misread, their appearance. You misread, their conduct. You misread, praise be to God, their conversation. You misread their body language. You misread their humility. You misread their generosity. Amen. You misread, praise be to God, their seriousness. And so you had to confess that you had misread the situation. I can remember true story, brother preachers, true story. When I was about 13, 14 years old, young people, look at me now, 13, 14 years old, I used to love to go to the Saturday matinee movies in my neighborhood. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I have to be honest with you today. Praise be to God. I would go to the movies, not just to see the movies, but I'd go to the movies to see what young girls I could meet. Lord, that's just the truth. Amen. And I shall never forget, Pastor, one Saturday afternoon, I was sitting in the back of the theater, and I saw what I thought, Dr. Matthews, amen, was a beautiful sister sitting in the front all by herself. All right. And so, church, I got myself together. And I sashayed myself. down to the front. And I sat right next to her. And in the vernacular of days gone past, I began to lay my little rap down. Young folk don't know nothing about that. Amen.
Tell it.
And oh, when the movie was over and the lights came on and I saw that young lady's face, I didn't know whether to scream or to run. I had to confess I had misread the situation. Lord have mercy. I got a good shaking that day.
Yes, sir.
My. Lord Jesus. Sometimes God shakes us because he wants us to confess that we have misread the situation. I need an amen there.
Amen.
I said I need an amen from somebody. Shake your neighbor's hand. Everybody shake a neighbor's hand. Look your neighbor right in the eye and say, neighbor, I too have often misread the situation. My God. But then finally, brothers and sisters, finally, this beautiful text of ours is suggesting that sometimes God shakes us. Not only because he wants to get our attention. Not only because he wants us to confess, but oh glory, he shakes us because he wants to set us free. I need a hallelujah right there. I said sometimes God, in his providential wisdom, he'll shake us because he wants to set us free. Somebody help me say, you know the drill. Do your hands like I'm doing mine and say, I need everybody. Come on. You'll feel much better. Come on. Free. Yes, yes. Sometimes God shakes us because he wants to set us free. For we are clearly told in the 26th verse of our text that when God sent that great earthquake that shook the very foundations of the prison doors flung wide open, and the bands and the chains that had held Paul and Silas were loosed. In other words, the bands and the chains that held Paul and Silas, they completely fell off. In other words, brothers and sisters, this is the point. After God sent that great earthquake that caused that great shaking, Paul and Silas became free. I said, Paul and Silas became free. Oh, don't you see, brothers and sisters, young people and parents, that sometimes God has to shake us because he wants to set us free. I'm going deeper on this one. Understand clearly. Understand that sometimes the grip and the vice of the things that imprison us are so strong and so tight until it takes the force and the magnitude of an earthquake in order to set us free. My God. Somebody missed that. I said sometimes the grip and the vice of the things that imprison us are so strong, are so tight until it takes the force and the magnitude of an earthquake to set us free. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes our God has to shake us, shake you and you, because he wants to set you free. Well, as I move toward a close, I need to ask someone today, have you looked at your chains lately? my God. I said, my brother, my sister, I said, have you looked at your chains lately? Not at anyone else's chains, but Sylvester, have you looked at your chains lately? In other words, have you looked at those things that have you in prison? Have you looked at those things that have you in jail? Have you looked at those things that have you in bondage? Have you looked at those things that have you all locked up and bound up and wound up and messed up and tore up from the floor up? Have you looked at your chains lately? For your chain could be a bad attitude. Your chain could be a jealous streak. Your chain could be a nasty disposition. Your chain could be a horrible habit. Your chain could be some sort of a perverted sex addiction. My brother, my sister, young man, young woman, have you looked at your chains lately? Well, I've stopped by to tell you in the name of Jesus that whatever your chains may be, I said whatever your bondage may be, if you come to Jesus, he can and he will set you free. Can I get an amen there? I said whatever your chain may be, whatever your bondage may be, God can and God will. God can and God will set you free. For I heard him say in John chapter 8 verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Whatever your chain may be, God can, God will, God can, God will, God can, God will set you free. I need to ask somebody a question, and I believe you're going to be honest with the preacher. Has the Lord ever set you free from any bondage before? I need a witness from somebody. I said, has the Lord ever set you free from some bondage before? Well, if he did it before, he will do it again. Whatever your chain may be, whatever your bondage may be, turn it over to Jesus, for he will set you free. For it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do, for there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. For Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide us till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Not one. Not one, not one, not one, not one, not one, not one. No, not one. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. St. Paul, it's always an honor and a privilege to come this way. And I bless God that you did not miss the message today. Sometimes God has to wake us. Sometimes.